Well, Father, I thank you for the people who came out to sit at your table and to glean whatever you want to give them this morning. Give them that fresh manna from heaven that will see them through another year, Father, another day, another second, another hour. And Father God, we just thank you that your angelic hosts are walking to and fro among these chairs, meeting each and every need that's here this morning. And Father God, those that are homeless, I'm asking, Father God, that you give them a home. And Father God, those that don't have family, I'm asking that you send family to them. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many things, wonderful things are happening in this time of year, as usual. And we have good things and bad things and in-between things, right? And Brother Adam, we're so glad to see that you made it to Virginia and back. He surprised his family. That was a better present you could ever give them, right, for Christmas, just seeing your smiling face. You know, I know that you're very close-knit, and I know your mom missed you, and so is your dad, and I know that was a joy to them. Amen. You're all praying for the fires in California, right, that they'll stop. I said, God, I could really see in the spirit realm him. His angels just taking big buckets of water and dropping it on that fire and stopping it instantly. And I'm so sorry that the 80-year-old woman had to die. You know, that was a terrible death, being caught in that fire in her car and burning up. But I said, God, I don't understand why you're allowing this to happen, but I know you can also stop it. Amen. So let's just continue to believe that God can miraculously. I would love to hear on the news all of a sudden a big downpour of rain and the fires are put out. And if not, I'm bringing it up because, you know, I don't want to hear nobody complain in this room. You aren't running for your life. You haven't lost everything you had. You aren't sitting around watching your life go up in flames. And we have more than enough. And we are more than blessed. And we need to quit complaining. Amen. You know, a lot of us sitting in here, we've made our own problems. Made wrong choice, made our own problems. And a lot of those people that had to lose and everything, that have lost everything they have, they didn't make that problem. But they had to suffer too. You know, the good suffer with the bad. Well, I said to God, what do you want me to teach those people? And he said, I want you to teach them what it means to truly love someone. You know, if you noticed, all of our songs were about Jesus this morning. And, you know, he just wants you to know that he's there for you. He loves you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And it's all about Jesus. It's not about anything else but Jesus. And I want you to really to concentrate on having a fun, happy year. You know, Christmas from this point on. You know, quit, like last night I said to my family, I said, stop this. They started arguing. I said, I am not going to tolerate this. I have decided this house is going to be joyful. This house is going to follow Christ with all their heart. And I'm not going to allow you to be negative. So they all shut right out. They all start being really nice to one another. And this is how I feel. See, you're going to have to put your foot down. You're going to have to tell the devil, no, you're not coming in here. You're not going to mess my home up, my life up. And I'm going to follow God, and we're going to be happy because God is happy. You know, Jesus is happy. The holy angels are happy, and the Holy Spirit's happy. So we aren't supposed to be sad. I mean, we'll have our days of gloom and doom, but it shouldn't be 24/7 is what I'm saying. Amen. All right, so what it means to truly love someone in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, and it's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. All right, and thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, I'm reading this because we do not measure up to this scripture. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. It's talking about Jesus. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's stop there. We don't measure up to this either. When I was a child, you're still a child. You spoke as a child, and I hear a lot of you speaking like children do. I understood as a child, and you don't understand the ways of God. I thought as a child, and your foolishness way of thinking is not God's way of thinking. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I want to see everybody grow up this Christmas. Amen. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now really and truly, I think you need to go home and memorize 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. And I think we need to start living it, because God is still saying that his church does not know how to walk in love, in pure love. And this is why he is staying on this subject, because we need to learn how to walk in love. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. And I don't see sins being covered. I see skirts being lifted instead. Then John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world, that's you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son. I was thinking the other day, you know, I read where they found some bones that are 4,000 years old. All right? And so we know that Jesus created the heavens and the earth, right? I mean, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then we know that Jesus is a little over 2,000 years old. So for 2,000 years, at least before Jesus came, Jesus was still here. And so seeing God was watching the world all this time, and then whenever Jesus was, you know, 2,000 years ago, then him and God had a conversation, and Jesus said, "I'll go down there and help them poor things," right? And he died on that cross and shed his blood. But I was thinking, did it really work? You know, you have to stop and think. Instead of you playing your stupid games on your computers and stuff, why don't you stop and let your mind dwell on the things of God? And just start, when you hear, you know, let your mind just think, what really went on 4,000 years ago, you know? And what was God and Jesus doing, you know, in those 2,000 years before he finally sent Jesus here? You know, there's a whole lot of things going on up in heaven. And you really need to think right now, what is going on up in heaven right now? I mean, we know in part what's going on in heaven, but we don't know the totality of what's going on in heaven. I would like to really visit heaven sometime, right? All right, then. So we are in the season of perfect love, for God so loved that he gave. Now that God wants us to really get this love thing down this Christmas season. We are in the season of perfect love, for God so loved that he gave. Love is not selfish. Love cannot be selfish. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Somebody's, "Oh, boy, when I look at her, my goosebumps go up and down my body." Well, that's the feeling. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. Knowing you would do anything for someone else, that is love. Loving someone is not all about enjoying time spent together, although that is part of love. Loving someone is not about any superficial thing one may think. Choosing to love someone with your whole heart takes sacrifice and maturity. We can never love as much as the Father loves us, but we can try to reach that level of ultimate love here on earth. And see, this is what God is trying to get us to do. Reach the measure of love that he has for us. We need to reach that measure of love so we can pour that love out on the people around about us. And we need to get rid of the lust, because that's what the world only knows lust right now. It does not really know love. If you knew love, then why are you married 3, 4, 5 times? If you knew love, how come you have 10 or 15 boyfriends or girlfriends? See, that's all lust. And it's all about feelings and emotions, and that's not where it's all at. All right, so when our men are going overseas to fight, right? And what's happening to the wives? They're running around on their husbands and then divorcing them while they're over there getting themselves blown apart. See, the world does not know what love is. True love would be staying home while your husband's over there fighting, or your wife, women go too, and praying for them and keeping the home fires burning. It isn't about running around to see who you can go out with. It's about keeping things together while they're sacrificing their life for our country. Have you ever stopped and thought about how maimed are people who are coming back here? Arms, legs, you know, whatever, missing, crippled. They really sacrificed a lot for you and I. And what were we doing while they were over there? Were we praying for them? If you're married, was you sitting at home, you know, waiting for them to come back? We need to. If love really was the thing that was uppermost in our minds, we would not be doing the things that we're doing. The world is a world, and God is God. All right, I said, knowing that you would do anything for someone else, that is love. Loving someone is not all about enjoying time spent together, although that is a part of love. Loving someone is not about any superficial thing one may think. Choosing to love someone with your whole heart takes sacrifice and maturity. We can never love as much as a father loves us, but we can try to reach that level of ultimate love here on earth. Now, love is not selfish. It can't be. A relationship with love is not a give and take relationship. A truly loving relationship is a give and give. There can be no take in love. We just give. Well, you don't love me as much as I love you. How do you know that? Why are you worried about that? If you're a child of God, you're supposed to be giving out love, not worrying about what somebody's not giving to you. When you love someone, you want what is best for them, what will ultimately help their well-being. Now, as I was typing this, I was thinking, now, there's going to be some sitting in that church that have an awful they have a lot of trouble with lust, and they're going to say, well, that's how I feel about that person I'm lusting after. And they call it love, and that's not true. See, I didn't even really want to write that, because I knew people would take that and twist that. You have to learn what love is first. You have to learn first of all, love the Father. I guess the first thing you have to do is know the Father loves you. And then once you know the Father truly loves you, then you have to love the Father. And then once you get your love walked down with the Father, then you can start loving people. Right? I had somebody write me and say, they really thanked me that I was there for them. They really needed me. And they moved away. But now they're listening to somebody on TV. Well, they have their own home church too. But they're listening to somebody on TV. And he said, I really love listening because now I know the Father loves me. And this is all that person teaches, is that the Father loves you. Now, if that's all you're teaching is that the Father loves you, then you're lopsided. You have to also know that your Father in heaven is just like your fathers on earth. And when you do something wrong, you have to be chastised, right? Because if you keep teaching somebody that God just loves you no matter what you, and he does. Now, let's see. Well, yeah, you know, God does love you no matter what you do. Get that in your spirit. But when you do something wrong, he's like a parent, and he has to chastise you, and he still loves you. How many of you, when your father was beating you half to death, they say, this is hurting me more than I hurt you, and I really do love you, even though I have to do this to you, you know. And that is true. But people get things all messed up and they don't understand, you know, if God chastises them, then they think, well, God doesn't love me. Or if God doesn't give them what they're asking for, then, well, God must not love me. Yes, he does. You're just asking for the wrong thing, or it's not the correct timing for you to receive what you're asking for. God's love never dwindles. What does it say about Jesus? He walks the corridors of hell weeping over the people, but it's too late. He still loves them. He loves them enough that he walks through the corridors of hell, weeping over them. So if you have somebody that loves you that much, then why would you say he doesn't love you? See, a lot of times the enemy will tell you, God doesn't love you. Look what he's not helping you do. Well, you need to get that voice out of your ears, and you need to understand God does love you. And, you know, God, you might be praying for one thing, but God wants you to have a different thing. And see, what we do is we shortchange God because we won't let, and we tie his hands, we won't let him give us what he knows we really do need, because we're insisting on something we don't need, something that's going to kill us. Are you listening here this morning? A truly loving relationship is a give and give one. There can be no take in love. When you love someone, you want what is best for them, what will ultimately help their well-being. This can have no selfish motives. It can be hard for some to understand how much of a sacrifice it is to love someone. How many know sometimes you do have to sacrifice to love someone? They can be a pip. You know, but you still, because you are God's child, you still have to love them. And as you love them, there's a situation going on in my life where, you know, the person's doing something really, a lot of really dumb, stupid things. And yesterday God said, why don't you turn around your thinking? Instead of thinking about the dumb, stupid things they're doing, why don't you start praying that I reverse the situation and set them free? Say, I mean, and it's really hard right now because you need to think, you know, all that God has done for you and look what you're doing, but it takes sacrifice. So I start praying for that person. I prayed for God to give them wisdom and understanding and let them see in the spirit realm. Let them understand that God does love them even though they're rejecting God. Because God has done a lot of miracles for them, but they're still rejecting God. And I'm just praying that the enemy is bound in their life and in their thinking, and that God can get through to them and change their heart. Amen. Unless God tells you that the person is not going to turn around, then your job is to continue to pray for them. And one thing you need to remember always, thank God I'm not walking in their shoes. That really, you need to start thinking that. Thank God I'm not as bound as they are. Thank God I didn't have a mother and aunts and uncles and whatever praying me into witchcraft or whatever. You know, thank God that I didn't have an alcoholic father. You know what I'm saying? And then pray for those people instead of cursing them with the words you say and the things you think. You know, your thoughts curse people. That's why you need to bind them stupid thoughts you get in your head about people that are not godly. All right, you have to always put the other first without neglecting yourself, of course. You always have to put other people before you, but don't neglect yourself too in the process. Choosing to love someone means you understand that they will have faults. Wives, listen up. Choosing to love someone means you understand that they will have faults. And not only do you accept these faults, you rejoice in them. I see you curling your lips up there. You know, instead of us accepting somebody and their faults, what we do is go look for somebody else who you're going to pick the same type of person anyhow. So stay with them when you have and pray through it. All right, they give you opportunity. All right, let's start that paragraph over again, Nancy. Choosing to love someone means you understand that they will have faults, and not only do you accept these faults, you rejoice in them. They give you opportunities to love as he loves us. These people give you opportunities to love as God loves us, to look past the mistakes and have mercy and be patient. To look past the mistakes and have mercy and be patient. Love is patient. Its very definition proves this. 1 John 4:8 tells us God is love. Who is more patient than God? Come on, what do you think about this? Times may get tough and you may fight. You know, I'm talking about relationships. The future may seem hopeless, but you must remember that if your love is true and your love is strong, you can conquer it. You hear this, married people? If your love is true and your love is strong, you can conquer whatever the enemy has placed in your relationship. I don't care if you're married. I don't care if you're just in a, you know, it could be your children, could be your boss, could be anything. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, love may be tested, but true love in the imitation of our Father is never broken. You listening? You know, yesterday when that situation started, I said that the person, after everybody cleared the room, I said that, you know, started the situation. I said, you know, I want you to start looking at your life. And I said, very lovingly, I said, I want you to start looking at your life, and I'm going to ask you a question. Are you perfect? Or are you going to have God shed his grace on you at some point in your walk with him? And I said, if you're going to need grace, then you better start showing this other person grace when you're fussing about. You better start showing them more grace, because when you need grace, it won't be there. And that's just how it is. And they get upset with me, but, you know, they straightened up. But we need to start thinking about that. Instead of being upset with people and, you know, cursing them with our mouth or our thought, we need to start just saying, God, pour your grace out upon them. Just give them more grace, Father. And whenever I sit up there to look past the mistakes and have mercy and be patient, sometimes you're really going to have to go to corners. God, give me more patience here. You know, you kids with parents, you know, sometimes your relationship with your parents isn't that good. You're going to have to go say, God, give me patience to bear with these adults who don't know anything. Right? Because don't kids think they know it all? And they really, when they grow up, they find out, hey, I didn't know what I thought I knew. And my mom and my dad was right. All right. So I said, love may be tested, but true love in the imitation of our Father is never broken. Love must be humble. A true humble love is a type of love God had in mind for us. He does not want a show for everyone to see, and then behind closed doors is hollow. A true humble love is a type of love God had in mind for us. He does not want a show for everyone to see, and then behind closed doors is hollow. You're just sometimes, I know some people aren't getting along in their marriage, and I see them in church holding the hands, you know, and I can see the ones real stiff, but the other ones, hold hands, I got to make an impression here. You know, I watch that, and sometimes I say, let the hand go. I would like to say that. Because I know that's not sincere. It's just something you're putting on, just as a front. You want people to believe that you're doing, that you're something you're not. All right, Romans 12:9 says, let love be sincere. God wants full love expressed in great and meaningful ways. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is not pompous, it is not inflated. You should not have to show off your love in flashy ways. If you truly love someone, there is no need to. Others will be able to see the love you have for one another. Are you listening? Choosing to truly love someone is not an easy task. Because some people are not easy to love. Right? But God said we have to love the unlovable, right? Choosing to truly love someone is not an easy task. It involves taking a look at your own life and seeing what changes you need to make to help each other. Because if you're having a hard time with the other person, there's something in you that God has to correct. Because God calls us to pure, unadulterated love. It requires motivation and a kind heart, and it takes time. Time to know one another, time to know their faults and virtues, and time to accept them as they are, time to meet them where they are. You know, and I'm watching, you know, the married couple in my home. They were just so lovey-dovey before they got married. Once they got married, and they, one day, and they found out each other had flaws. I mean, good grief. Clothes being thrown down a bedroom, put in another bedroom, and I said, get back in that bedroom. You have to work this thing out. Then the next day, well, I just didn't know. I said, well, now you're knowing, and you just can't, you know, throw the bag out the door. You have to stay and work it out, right? So I lost my place. I said, we need time to know one another, time to know their faults and virtues, and time to accept them as they are, time to meet them where they are. And sometimes when you get married, the person you thought they were is not the person that you married in your mind, and you find out, my goodness, what have I gotten myself into, right? But they need time now to work all these things out. Love is not something to gain impulsively or to throw away at the first sign of a problem. True love must be stronger than that. And see, this person said to me, well, the man said, well, you just believe her because she's your grand. No, I said, no, I don't know. No, I'm not taking signs here. I'm just telling you, you have to stick it out. And you know, you're always running from something. You've run all your life. Now you've got to stop running, and you have to face the problems, and you have to work through them. Isn't that right? You can't, once you get married, you can't start, you keep running. You have to stop and you have to start working things out. So if you aren't married yet, maybe you better think about it a long time before you get married, because there's, you're not marrying God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. You're marrying another individual just like you, and they have problems like you have, right? All right, love means knowing that no matter what, you have someone to count on. It's unconditional and makes you feel good on the inside. I really don't think I see that in the body of Christ and married people. So I said, love means knowing that no matter what, you have someone to count on. It's unconditional, makes you feel good on the inside. In other words, no matter what goes on in life, you can count on your spouse or your mother, your father, whoever you're in a relationship with, that they will stand by you no matter what. They're not going to throw you out the door, because their love for you is unconditional and your love for them is unconditional. But I don't see that either. There's so many conditions put in relationships. I keep saying marriages. In relationships, right? And we're not supposed to do that. Did God put a condition in between you and him whenever you gave your heart to him? I love you, he says. But he also said, now you have to change. And so, you know, whenever you get into a relationship, anytime, you have to change. You have to start, you know, being able to mesh with the other person. You can't be the individual. You have to now become one. And you decided to marry them, or you decided to live with your sons, daughters, fathers, mothers, whatever, then you have to conform, you have to change, and you have to mesh so that you can live together. Right? Yeah, so isn't it funny? People move into your home and right away they think you need to conform to how they live. And then they don't want to change. But we all have to change, don't we? Come on, guys. So then another aspect of true love is unconditional. The word unconditional means that there are no expectations or limitations set. Come on, Catherine. You know, so then another aspect of true love is unconditional. The word unconditional means that there are no expectations or limitations set. To love unconditionally is a difficult thing. Aren't you glad you listened to this, Adam, before you decided to tie a knot? To love unconditionally is a difficult thing, and most humans aren't good at that. But true love really does love without trying to change the other person. Oops. You listen to this here, Chris Lynch? True love really does love without trying to change the other person. I have news for you. You're not going to change them. The Holy Spirit can, but you're not going to. You can trust the person you love and are comfortable around them. It's like your heart tells you it is good for you. This is unconditional love. Choosing to love means choosing to grow with another person. Choosing to love means choosing to grow with another person. All right? When you love another person, you are going through the journey of life with them. Wouldn't that be nice, Grace, if that's the way it really happened? I know Grace had a few problems, but, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we did that? I mean, I had my problems too, but choosing to love means choosing to grow with another person. And isn't that what you expect when you get married? You expect you're just going to mesh together and you're going to grow together and you're just going to do things together. And you know, the good, the bad, the indifferent is going to always be there, right? But you're going to be able to come through it because you have unconditional love. And see, what you need to think about today, too, is that the times have changed. It's not like whenever I was young, I'm trying to think of Ozzie and Harriet or whatever those families were. It's not like that now. You know, homes are hell. Drugs, everything you can think of is in the homes. And so now you have to think about it that, too. It's going to be harder now to live unconditional love. It's really going to be tested. It's just going to test your love. My love's been tested so bad here lately that I think sometimes I don't know what love is. How many of you, your love has been tested? Even by your kids, your love is tested. Okay, you can trust a person you love. Is that what I meant? You can trust the person you love and are comfortable around them. It's like your heart tells you that is good for you. Choosing to love means choosing to grow with another person. When you love another person, you are going through the journey of life with them. You have to be patient and most of all, understanding. It may test you and it may require changes, but in the end, you will find it is worth everything. How many of you said, how many of you women have said, God, I just do not understand this guy. I don't understand why you ever put us together. This looks so impossible, right? One day I think everything's fine. Next day everything's falling apart. Isn't that the way it goes? But true love sticks it out, goes through the mess, and just trust God. Hope. Hope that God can get through because you can't, right? Love is the most important thing we can share with someone, whether it be here on earth or with God. Isn't that what, don't you just want to share love with people? Especially if you're in a relationship. That's what a relationship's all. I was happy being alone. Then I got married and thought, oh, well, great. Now I have somebody to share my stuff with, and share my feelings and my love. And, boy, what a letdown that was, But I was happier alone. How many of you are happier alone? Then once you get married, you say, oh, dear Lord, this is hell on earth, right? That's the truth, right? Come on. But then you say, well, then better or worse, right? Then you have to think about that. Well, I said those words, better or worse, come hell or high water. So you have to stick it out and keep loving unconditionally, not trying to change them. But trusting God, hoping in God, like he was blown over today. Love is the most important thing we can share with someone, whether it is here on earth or with God. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, so faith, hope, and love remain, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 John 4:7-21, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you don't love, then you don't know God. Isn't that what the scripture says? He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. It wasn't the fact that we loved God, because we didn't even know about him, but he loved us so much he sacrificed his Son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. He said we ought. He knows we're not, right? He's preaching to the people. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. We have to remember that whenever the Bible was written, the people were going through the same mess that we're going through today. And the preachers, the apostles and bishops, wherever they were preaching to the same type of people that we have today. And they were trying to teach them just like we're trying to teach today. All right, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Now, whoever confesses that Jesus is Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. For God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Love has been perfected among us. Why? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. If you love, you'll be bold. If you don't have love, then you're going to walk in fear. That's what this is saying. All right, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if you're a person who walks around in fear all the time, this applies to you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love. So if you perfected your love, then you're not going to walk in fear. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we love God because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I have somebody in my home who, they won't look me in the face anymore because they know they've let me down. And so last night I went into their room and I was talking to them, and they jumped up off the bed and hugged me really tight. And they said, thank you for not hating me, for letting you down. And thank you for still loving me. And they started to cry. I said, I don't hate you. I said, I'm praying that God will strengthen you once again, and you'll be able to do the things God's calling you forth to do. Now, see, that really did something in that young man. It broke something in him. Now, if I couldn't go in there and be loving and kind and nice to them, that young man I know would be back out on the street. But because I showed it, and I didn't do that deliberately. I just went in there. I am who I am. And I was just talking and laughing. And all of a sudden, he jumped off the bed and just hugged me and started crying. Thank you for loving me, even though I messed up. Unconditional love. Some of you wives need to, and some of you husbands need to, whenever your spouses are messing up, you just need to give them a big hug and just, you know, just tell them you love them. Just let them, and that, I'll tell you one thing, that'll change the heart inside of them. It'll start softening that heart. That hard rock of stone, it really will. If it doesn't, then they have the problem. You don't. Amen. You're not the one that has a problem. Jesus had so much love for God's people that as he hung on the cross out of pure unconditional love, he cried out to the Father. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And what I said is, Jesus had so much love for God's people that as he hung on the cross out of pure unconditional love, he cried out to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. How many of you, when somebody's really coming against you, can look at the Father and say, Father, please forgive them for what they just did, because they don't know they just got themselves in a whole lot of trouble. They just poked their finger in your eye. And God, they don't need chastisements. They need love to turn them around. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I used to pray that all the time. One time, God said, don't you ever, for this one person, you know, God said, don't you ever pray that prayer again, because they know exactly what they're doing. They calculate everything they're doing. Don't you ever tell me to forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. But that's just certain people, you know. That's what we need to pray over people. Father, please forgive them, for they really don't know what they're doing. Now, what in my home, what I do anymore is when they really get acting up against me, I said, you better watch out, because you're in trouble with God if you keep that up, because I'm the apple of his eye, and he's going to come after you if you don't quit coming after me. Amen. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So that's how you should feel too. You shouldn't get all upset and carry on. You just look at them and say, boy, you just got yourself in trouble with God. They'll look at you like you're crazy and say, I'm the apple of his eye. And the Bible tells me you are not supposed to mess with me. Are you a true child of God? Then, and I don't get upset and carry on like a fool. Are you a true child of God? Then you can say that. Because they have just gotten into trouble with God. And now God's going to be, I said, God's going to be after you now. Better watch out. You know what? They don't bother me so much anymore. They don't cuss me out and stuff. Because they're afraid that they're messing with God. That's what they're doing, isn't it? Brother Larry, mess with God in you, right? When they do that, right? Come on. Isn't that right, Nancy? They're not messing with you. They're messing with the God in you. See, this is the trouble why you get all bent out of shape, is because it's all about poor me. And it isn't about poor me at all. It's all about the God inside of you, and God's not poor. And he's not shivering inside of you either. He's saying, rise up, you fool. Fight that. Let that devil know who you are in me. Amen. Come on. We always think when somebody comes against us, they're coming against us, but they're not. If you're a true child of God, you're come with God in you, and you're full of love, right? Are you full of love? Now, don't lie. Thank you for not shaking your head. Yes. you're the apple of God's eye. You're the love of God's life, and you're full of the love of God, and you're out there spreading the love of God, because that's the only thing that's going to save souls. If you spread the love of God, no matter how much people are coming against you, no matter how much society is fighting you, if you spread the love of God, you'll see people change. You'll see things turn around. And you even find yourself in a better place, because all of a sudden you're not so worried about what people are doing to you. You're going to be just laughing in your boots, saying, God, just shake them good. Get your love stick after them. Amen. Melt that cold, cold heart and bring them full circle around. So, Christmas is a time of love, right? And because it's all about Jesus, right? It's not about the gifts. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is love. And so God wants to spread his love abroad in your heart this morning. He wants to stir up that love. And you know, not some of you ladies sitting here go, I'm going to tell you, you don't know my life. You do not want to walk in my, you can be glad you never walked in my shoes. But you know one thing, I always had love. My mother used to say, Barbie, when you were born, you were so different. And I've never seen anybody can love people like you can love people. But, you know, and that's just who I am. That's who God made me to be. So no matter what hard times I've gone through, God's always kept that love going. And I had to keep it going. God didn't keep it going. I had to keep it going because any given time, because I'm not going to love no more. I'm not going to love no more. But then, you know, I didn't. I just love because God tells me to. His word tells me to. So this morning, do you want to have that true agape love that the Trinity has, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? If you do, I want you to come here and let God pour out the oil. He wants to pour out oil of love over you. He wants to change you so radically that when people look at you, they're going to pinch themselves and wonder, is that really the person I just saw yesterday? Amen. It's all about love. It's all about intimacy with your Father. And if you have love and intimacy with your Father, then you have love and intimacy with the people around about you. And you won't be so quick to judge and condemn them. You'll be saying, God, what is there in me that can't forgive them for what they're doing? Because God's forgiving. And if God's in you, then you need to be forgiven also. Thank you, Father.